I don't know if you guys knew, but this is not like a lighthearted program. This is kind of an intense thing. I don't know if you knew that coming in, but it's very intense.
Okay. So, it's interesting to go with Lost because you get all these, you know, and I see a bit of me in every one of them.
Yes, I know. We all do. That's how it is, yeah.
You know, I don't have any specific question for you. I mean, the one I did have was, you know, what do you ask? What is your mission? You've already answered that, you know, in great detail. We don't want to go down through, but I'll tell you what brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not what I'm expecting to get out of it. I'll come to that later. But what brought me here was having looked at your stuff, having gone through the Tower of Badass for about a year now. And I keep listening to this in the radio, I mean, in my car every time I drive to work.
Yeah.
And every time I listen to the same thing, I hear different things in it than I've heard previously about the third.
I love that.
Yesterday, I was listening about the confidence one,
uh-huh.
where you mentioned about, you know, where you believe yourself, yeah, I'm hot shit.
Uh-huh.
that's good. And I think what really made me want to come to do this was the fact that the way you explain the stuff. I'm a very analytical kind of a person. Unless I understand the stuff, I just can't implement it or believe in any part of it. And
right.
A lot of the PUA artists out there, you know, just tell you stuff, go do it. If you don't understand it, you don't believe it. You know.
Right.
You know, that's what I loved about this stuff. That's why I'm here.
Right. Right. Okay.
I mean, you know, talking about, you know, seeing your life go by. I mean, this is the next, you know, it's the last one that happened to me quite a few years ago. You know, when I was on a plane from LA to San Diego, we went through a storm, and that plane was all over the place, and I saw my life go right by me. And that time I was about 30 years old, and I thought, wow, what have you achieved in life? This plane is crashing any minute.
Yep.
It was there. I mean, I am not a good traveler anyway by plane, though I have to do it for my job, and I'm often in planes, and the more I travel, the more fearful I get, you know, maybe because I think, statistically, my time is coming. I'm going to be on that line
yep.
sooner rather than later because I travel so much.
Right. You know, the fear is behind that is that you didn't live your life. You're waiting to start it.
That's exactly. I mean, that's exactly the point. You hit the nail right on the head, and I heard it again. And after that point, you know, having also grown up in a semi-Asian household where you're drilled into, you know, first, you know, do this, do that. It's got all these stages, right? You know, I've gone through all of that, and then a couple of years ago, my father died. The year before that, my brother-in-law died just at the age of 50 suddenly. And I thought, wow, you know.
It's getting real.
This is getting real. I review for myself how much have I lived my life. And mm-hmm. I've lived my life very little. You know,
right.
Very little. Because go through this, you know, what society, what your family tells us, you have to do this is the way we do things kind of thing. Or even I broke out of that.
Mm-hmm.
By coming to Germany in the first place, you know, I came here, I had no job, I had nothing. I said, I'm getting out of here. I want to stop my life.
That moment, yeah.
And 30 years later, I'm still here. You know, that was not my intention. But
of course, it's not your intention. That's how it is.
That's how it is. Yeah. And
those moments, that moment of clarity that you had when you said, "Fuck this, I'm leaving."
Yeah.
You know, is an opportunity.
Yeah, it's an opportunity. But I mean, at that point in time, of course, I did not. You know, I was young enough that I looked at it as the opportunity to start my professional life more than anything else, and that's
right.
What I constantly was basically I got caught in the spiral of my profession rather
right.
than anything else. So I, you know, yes, I lived my life, but not to the extent that I should have or I want. Looking
not that
back,
you wanted to,
not,
yeah.
You know, looking back, not the way I should have done it. Really,
you didn't come there for the opportunity, though. You came there, and then you started. Then the fear started kicking in, and
yeah.
you started realizing that you should have a reason to have said fuck it all, and then you're like, well, I guess my reason is opportunity.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
What happened to you is you had a moment of clarity. You had a this is the beginning of all the process. What you know is what you probably knew at the time is that yes, you are going to die. You know, like that is the thought. This is the thing that sets you free. Death is the idea.
Yeah,
that
it's funny
you
say that because that happened. You know that. That event happened before I came here. I was living in England then. You know, So, you know, after that event, I suppose you're absolutely right. I thought, this cannot be my life. It's time to break out of this.
Yep. Well,
in the world at least.
You have two options. You can wait for that to happen again before you give a shit, or you can tear your world to pieces.
Yeah.
You know? I know that no one wants to tear their world to pieces. Nobody does. Every time I go through this process with anybody, even myself, everyone's like, okay, look, I'll leave everything, but can I take this? All I want is this. It's all I can. I just have this. It's like they're bargaining. Like, no, you can't have fucking anything. If it's supposed to be there, it'll still be there afterwards. You know, the things in your life that are supposed to be a part of your life that actually make you happy will be there whenever you drop everything. You'll be like, oh, there you are. Like Kelsey, I was a little nervous about losing her whenever I went through this process with her, because look, I've spent the last 10 years of my life trying to fucking get her, you know, or at least getting the knowledge that I needed in order to get her in. And now we're both going through this process and we have to kill our attachment. What does that mean? Do I have a girlfriend? No, I don't have a girlfriend anymore. I mean, I have everything that I associate as a girlfriend, you know, I'm not fucking other girls, you know, but maybe that changes. I don't know. But that's a weird thing. You know, that's not normal for me. I'm not used to that. And it scares me. It would scare me to think that I was going to lose her. But the truth is that I don't have her in the first place, you know, and I know that's the truth. And the more I accept that as true, the more I'm able to look at this and see, am I coming from a place of insecurity in this relationship, or is this actually something that's true, that's good, that actually is helping me? And you cannot know until you get rid of it. You can't. Kelsey came into my life the moment I killed my ego. I was sitting at the gas station in Tallahassee, and I was reading a Zen book, and I was fucking, my mind was just going crazy, just like all the beliefs that I had were getting torn to pieces. I had nothing. I was working at a fucking gas station, you know? I was 20 or 19. What the fuck did I have, you know? The perfect time to do it when you have nothing. It's the perfect time, but it's the last time. That thing never crosses your mind when you're in that place, you know? The thing you want to do is go get shit, you know? Like, be like all your mentors, the people who are lost, you know, in Maya's dungeon. Mm. But I was reading a Zen book for whatever fucking reason. The reason why at the time, actually, was that I had just stopped being Catholic. I was like, I was Catholic before, and then I was like, I don't think I'm going to be Catholic anymore. I was raised Catholic, and I went to a Catholic school when I was really little. Went to church every week, you know, never missed a beat, always. And then I was sitting in church one day, I was 18. I looked around, and I was like, man, nobody here gives a flying fuck about any of the stuff that's being said or being taught or anything. And I was like, I can do better at my house. So I went home, and I was like, well, what the fuck do I do? Pick up the Bible? Like, I'm not going to pick up the Bible. I've already read that thing. I need something else. I need to just figure out what it is. I'm going to make the religion of me, right? Oh, man, this is the beginning of the biggest realization I've ever had, is making the religion of me and going, okay, well, what do I believe? That's a good question. Turns out fucking nothing. I actually believe nothing. I have learned everything in my life. I have learned every belief I've had was given to me by somebody else. It wasn't something I chose. I was looking for something that was truly me. There's nothing there. Just like there's nothing there for any of you either. When you get down to it. The things that you believe were given to you. You know? So, what do? Okay, well, you choose now. You just make a choice now. It's not like you never get that back again. It's just that now you see the truth. You see the truth that there's nothing there. You know? And that's, as soon as I did that, as soon as I killed my ego, that's destroying your ego. Because the ego is just a series of beliefs woven into what you believe is your personality. You know? When I did that, I have no fear of death anymore. No fear whatsoever of anything. I was just existing in the world. It was perfect. And as soon as I did that, guess who fucking shows up? Kelsey. Out of nowhere. I didn't want anything or anybody at all. And all of a sudden, I see somebody that I want. And I couldn't stop it. I just wanted it. So I was like, what the fuck is happening to me? You know? Is this real? Is this taking me in the wrong direction, or what's going on? I was so confused. It was perfect. It was me realizing that the path I was going on was I had to walk through the doorway alone and in the dark. Everybody has to walk through alone and in the dark. You don't know where you're going. You're confused, and nobody's holding your hand when you go through it. So what did I do? I ran. I was scared, you know? I put on a mask because I was like, I don't want to be alone. That sounds terrible, like being alone forever. But I'm already alone. I'm alone now. We're all alone. You know, you don't own any relationships. I don't have any friends. You know, I mean, I know you guys. I don't mean like I'm not being a dick. Obviously, you guys are. If I were to have friends, they would be you guys. You know, but I don't have any. You know, I don't have. I just know the truth. Truth is that I am just. I seem to be existing in the world, and that's all that I know. You know. Okay. Well. That's the truth. So I saw Kelsey when that happened. And as soon as I started building my ego up, she disappeared off the face of the earth. not like out of nowhere. I mean, I actually left in order to go figure this shit out. And so I did. I went, lived in a tree. Then I walked the Appalachian Trail. But I walked about 370 miles or something, hikes. And then traveled all over the place in the U.S., just like going wherever the world took me. And I was just learning whatever I needed to learn. That's what I did, you know? And then I started to see the process, started to see the pattern behind everything, which is what you guys know now, right? You now know that because I went through that process, you know? But the thing that happened before Kelsey came back again is that I started to see the lies again. I got wrapped up in the lies for a long time. I was like, you know, all about success and everything too for a little while. And then I was like, this isn't it. What am I doing? I thought that that was childish at the time. I was like, oh, believing like I used to, that's childish. You can't live in a world where you believe nothing, you know? I thought this. And so I had my second death again. Most people only have one, which is when they die. I've had two already, and I haven't died yet. I'll have another one, you know, when I die. But I had to kill that self. I was living in New York, and I had a beautiful Russian hot blonde girlfriend and a big company at the time, and then you know, a radio show on Sirius XM and all this other shit, like all doing all this media, book deals, you know, all that crap. And I was like, well, what do I want? You know, who do I want? What do I want my life to be like? And I was like, fucking not this. This isn't it. And I had no reason to complain whatsoever. I had what every guy dreamt of. I could fuck any woman I wanted to. You know, I was like, who do I want to fuck? I could fuck a movie star. It doesn't matter. I know the system behind everything. I can do it. It's really easy. But I wanted Kelsey. You know, Kelsey represented that to me. She represented the truth to me. And so I was like, I have to leave. I didn't think I was ever going to find her, but I knew that this wasn't her, and that this wasn't the life that I wanted. As soon as I left, guess who fucking pops up? Kelsey. Out of nowhere. So I'm pretty sure she's going to be there, you know? I just don't know for sure, but it seems like she is. But the fear of losing her is there, you know? When I went through this process with her now, going through this truth realization process, I have to remind myself that I don't have her. When I spend time with her, it's just experiencing her. You know, and it's not better or worse than not experiencing her. Like this experience now, I'm not like pining for her instead of you guys. You guys are great. I'm not gonna fuck you. Hope that doesn't offend you. But it's just, you know, it's just a different experience. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna challenge you now to wait to have your second death. You know, in the same way that I did. I know you're ready for it because it seems like you are. You know. It's scary as fuck. You went through it once already. You lost everything then, you know. You might lose everything again. But the only thing that'll stay is stuff that you really like, that really, really care about, you know.
I mean, something else that's very interesting. I have an 8-year-old son that also sees on the weekends, and I spend a lot of time with him. And it's interesting just to see. I mean, I've been now divorced for almost 5 years since he was three.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was growing, I began to see the world through a child's eyes, you know, and I've been questioning my own thoughts on this. Why am I so screwed up in this world? You know, why do I have all these ideas and beliefs and things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the truth. I mean, you know, nothing. And I think, and I'm seeing him going through this grow up process, you know, he lives with his mom for 5 days. And when he comes to me on the weekends, he's now at eight, got, you know, he's got all these inhibitions and things. I think, where does this come from? You know,
huh.
You know, we even go to a park, you know, what the hell they call it, a flight side park, what's a flight side park?
Theme park.
The theme park, right? Yeah. I mean, that
like with rides and things.
And he's scared about going on things, so why are you scared about it? Well, my mother said, you know, I could fall off and break something. And I think, wow.
But he could.
Yeah,
the truth is that he could, but he shouldn't be afraid of that, you know?
Exactly, but I mean, you know, that's what I think, well, you know.
Yeah, if you can't do it for you, you have to do it for him.
Exactly, and then, you know, that's where I start questioning my own beliefs and, you know, and the process I've gone through growing up to the stage I'm at now. You know.
Yep.
And it's an eye-opener. It's been a wonderful experience, but it's also an eye-opener into my own thoughts and beliefs, which I know I have to change. You know, because
well, you have to make a decision. That's the first thing you do. You make a decision that no matter what the cost, you are going to see the truth.
Yeah.
You know, truth at any cost. That's your mantra. That's your motto. That's on your flag. You know, when you ride in a battle on death, you know, you're going to have that flag in your hand, truth at any cost. You know, that's my flag. That's what I say, you know, at any cost. And I mean any cost, no matter what the cost, you want the truth. It's scary, you know, because you're thinking about the cost. You know, what you're thinking about is what you might have to pay, because you have stuff to pay. If you have nothing, there's nothing to pay. What's it going to cost? Nothing, because you have nothing, right?
Yeah, true.
That's how it is.
So true.
So flying in, truth at any cost. The things that you have now, you're going to pay those things, possibly. You're at least going to offer them. You don't know what's going to stay and what's going to leave, but you know for sure that some stuff is going to leave. Mm. One of my favorite things, though, my schedule. It's fucking gone. I don't do anything on a schedule hardly at all anymore. I mean, I showed up here, but if I felt like not showing up here today, guess what? I wouldn't show up. If you guys were like, fuck this, I'm getting a refund, I would deal with it. Okay, refund. All right, whatever, you know? Like, if you're pissed forever and that happens, okay, that's what's supposed to happen. If it's not my truth, I don't do it. You know? This is how my life is. Luckily for you guys, I wanted to show up, I guess. There's something here for me, though. You know? I like this. This is good. I want it. I like to experience this thing. It helps me. You know? So as long as it keeps helping me, I'll do it. If ever it doesn't keep helping me, guess what? I'll stop. And I anticipate that it will stop helping me. And so this is my last tour. You know? That's what I'm doing. I've done this before. I had my last... when I did Hacking Attraction, which is a course that I have that you've apparently got. Hacking Attraction was my last time teaching that attraction material. It is. I didn't never taught that ever since, that material. But, you know, maybe the next thing is something cool for me. Maybe I love teaching. Maybe it's just as I evolve, then the stuff has to evolve, you know? This is new. You guys... You're getting a new... I've never taught this kind of stuff. I never made sure every single fucking person knew they were going to die in classes. I mean, today is not the first time I've done this, but the last class is the first time I brought this into a boot camp, you know? And I did it with everybody in my company, too. At least the important people so far that are, like, really close to me. You know, they have to know. And I might lose them. You know, when I told Brad that he was going to die, basically, when we had this conversation... And you have to make this decision to do whatever you want to do in your life, whatever makes you happy. I could lose the director of marketing for my company. It's like, fuck, man, if I lost Brad, I would be like, I would have to go do all of Brad's shit. But guess what? I wouldn't do it. It would just either not get done. And if the company fell to pieces, it fell to pieces. You know, it was all about whether or not this was Brad's truth, you know, because I'd rather that Brad lives his truth and the company crumbles than Brad lives a lie and the company prospers. I'm not here to help Maya. I'm here to teach you guys how to fuck her over, to do whatever you want with this world and this life, basically. And however you want to do it. If you want to live a tranquil life, though, you've got to face fear. And you've got to do whatever you want to. You've got to make your decision. It's the decision. From that moment, you can't go back. There's never going back. You cannot. You can't unknow what you know. And as we go through this process, I'm acting on the assumption that you've made a decision to do this. You made a decision to live your truth, essentially, at any cost. Truth at any cost. You know, you've already made your decision. We talked about that. Truth at any cost. You know, I know that you don't have any reservations, so I don't even need to talk to you about that. You're there. I don't know about you. You're the only person I don't know about. You know? What? About whether or not you made your decision.
Totally, yeah. Totally did.
Okay. Well, then we're here, and we're good, and you guys are going to kick ass. It's going to be a really funny experience when this new person shows up, because he's going to have none of this happen. This happened in the last boot camp too. Someone showed up the next day, the first time, and they were like totally out of sync, and it was strange, you know? But I think that you guys will probably have to give him the rundown about how he's going to die. You know what I mean?
Like at the bar?
No, that's probably a bad idea. That might be a bad idea. But maybe tomorrow morning before we get started, maybe we can start out a little early with him. And
we'll find some time, like, just to catch him up as fast as possible.
Yeah, catch him down.
I'm taking a lot of notes.
Okay.
By the way, it's 12:40.
Yeah, I figured we'd go a little over. So, yeah. Okay, cool. We got what we needed to out of this first part. Let's take a lunch break. We'll go for an hour. Let's go straight till 2. So at 2 o'clock, be back at this room. So right now it's 12:41. You know, it'll be an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you guys can go do that. After you get back, I'm going to teach a little bit, and then you're going to go do day game. After day game, you'll come back, we'll teach some more, And then we'll end for the day, probably around 7 or so. But we'll go as long as I think we need to be honest. As long, however long that is. 7 will be great, but I don't want to keep these guys, you know, from being able to get ready and chill because this is really taxing. Go ahead.
So tonight, obviously, we're going to go out to a bar, nightclub, we're working on where. I heard that the bars typically stay open maybe until 2-ish.
Yeah.
2 o'clock. Okay. So we probably want to head out by 10.
Yeah. 10 would be the latest. A little bit earlier would probably be even better, especially if you're going to get locked into a place that's hard to get into.
Right. And let's say if you finish up teaching around 7-ish, that'll give us a few hours to relax, get ready, et cetera.
Yeah.
And obviously, it probably won't be exactly those times because we'll go over.
Yeah.
Let's just call it that for now so we know kind of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Good. Yeah, great. Eloquently put, too, actually. So field work. Tonight, you're going to fuck up. That's the point. The point of tonight is rejection. That's what you need to get resilient to, is being rejected by people. The people in the world around you, the thing that helped me get rejected a lot, not care anymore, is seeing that everyone is a mindless zombie. I mean, seeing the deception in the world. When women are rejecting you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting your fucking disguise. So change your disguise. If you don't want to be rejected, change your fucking disguise so it works. You know? That's how you do it. That's what it's all about. You know? You aren't being rejected. Just keep that in mind because you are not your disguise. You're not your mask. Okay? And you learned how to make your mask. You're building your mask. That's what you're doing. You know? And you're building it in a way that's conscious. That's, fuck, dude, you're really smart for doing that. And I built mine too, being conscious. You know? So it's just that you're still doing yours. Everyone's still building theirs. You need to know as you get rejected that it was something that you're doing that's getting you rejected, not something that you are. That's really important. You've got to know that. You have to know that, for real. That's the truth. So tonight is all about knowing that. If you're having success tonight, okay. If you're getting rejected, great. That's really what tonight's about. Normally, or in the past rather, I would have, the whole goal for the evening would be to make sure you get rejected. I've found over time that that doesn't need to be the goal. It just will happen, because that's just what happens. So we will, Brad and Connor will be taking you out. They'll be coaching you every step of the way. So in the beginning, they may do demonstrations, which is kind of what they do, so you guys can see what it's like. But don't let a second go by where you don't learn that, where you don't see what they're doing. Because the things that they do, they've learned. They specifically learned. And if you had seen Brad before this, Brad, we talked about this in the last course, no one believed that Brad didn't know what he was doing in the past with women. Because he just seems like it's who he is. And it seems like he's always been that way. But he has not always been that way. When he first showed up, what's the line from Fight Club? It's like a piece of putty or something. And by the end of Fight Club, he was carved out of wood, you know? That was like, you know, when he showed up, he was just like jello, you know? It was just how it was. That's how it always is. And you guys are going to be like that too, you know? But by the end of this, you will at least see something that's carved out of wood. You will be solid, or at least you'll know how to be. But your journey's just beginning now. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. So anyway, we'll break. We'll do that today. We will have day game. There's no doubt about that. You're going to be doing that. Also, you'll have field work at nighttime tonight, so you'll get 2 tomorrow. Depending on how we feel, sometimes we push the day game for tomorrow to Sunday, depending on how the class goes. But if things go as planned, which almost they never do, but if they do, then that means that tomorrow you'll have day game as well, and you'll have field work at nighttime as well. Sunday, there's no day game, unless there's no day game tomorrow, then we push it to Sunday, right? Sunday, there's no day game, and then at nighttime, we just go hang out, right, like somewhere, probably like a hookah bar or something, like relaxing and hang out and have a good time. There's nothing to do, the course is over on Sunday night, but you guys get to see me and hang out with me and stuff, and you know, just, I don't know, just talk and relax and kind of integrate this stuff a little bit. So is that clear on what the schedule is for everyone? 10 to 7 pretty much every day. Do not stay up later than you need to. But by the end of this, you will be brainwashed. This is like a classic brainwashing process. And that's what you're going to be doing to yourself, brainwashing yourself into doing the right shit instead of doing the wrong stuff, right? You're going to get very little sleep. You're going to have a lot of uncomfortable experiences, and you're going to learn so much that your head's going to explode. And that's the recipe for brainwashing. You know what I mean? So I'm just being upfront with what's actually happening here. And if you know what's best for you, you're going to go with this process and go, yeah, take me down there, because that's what you want to do. You want to get rid of all the shit that was brainwashed into you and brainwash new shit into you that actually you get to choose, you know? And that's what this whole process is about. Is anybody scared at all? Yeah?
Sure.
Good. I mean, everyone's scared, but you raised your hand, so thanks. You know, I mean, I can see fear on everybody, so I know everyone is.
So scared.
Yeah.
Everyone's
like... let me see if everyone raises their hand or not. I know that everyone's scared, but really, you got to just be okay with that. It's going to be scarier, you know? We're going to push you into situations that make you unhappy, and the outcome is not going to be in your favor, you know? It's not going to be like, oh, yeah, this is great. I made out with that chick. You're not going to walk up to a girl and go, okay, Josh said do this, and do everything perfectly, and then she's going to go, you know? It's not going to happen. You're going to go up there, and you're going to do one thing, and you're going to forget everything else. You're going to be like, touch her. And you're going to look at her and she's going to be like, what the fuck is going on? You know, it just takes a while, you know? It takes a while of practicing it to get it to work. So be okay with fucking it up for a while, you know? Again, remember, it's not you. But you won't remember that in the moment. You have to write that down or something. You have to remember that you're not being rejected. Your disguise is being rejected. So change your disguise, okay? We all clear? Awesome. Alrighty. So... the first thing I want to do is go over in detail the map of interaction, because that is kind of the process that I was telling you about before. That's kind of how things work. Don't ask me why it happens like this, but this is kind of the way that everything has settled in society. And when women are looking for a man they're attracted to...
Did you get a report?
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, yes, apparently I did. I don't remember doing that, though. So whenever a woman decides subconsciously that she's attracted to a man, there is a specific process that the man has typically gone through. This is the thing that I broke down over time, but this process has been broken down in the past. It's really not that new, but the application of it is new. Originally, this came from sales, because sales have been around since when we could talk and when there was something to sell. So they've had a lot of time to work this process out. But
it follows you, right?
I know.
It was not there doing much.
I know. I'm back here. Soon I start talking.
Maybe they're looking for you.
I know. So anyway, the process is for selling stuff, basically to get anybody to do anything. Since there is a system... then you can, anytime there is a system that is being used for anything, you can always change the system. You can always sort of work within the system to get whatever you want. Just like if there was a process that you could go through to take a pair of shoes, take them apart, and make a hat, right? I'm sure that there's probably some way you could do that. But if you get a good enough process, then you can take any pair of shoes and you can make any kind of hat, basically, whatever you want out of it. Just like the process itself can be a skeleton for whatever it is that you want to build. And the map of interaction is a process for creating attraction. Now, you can do anything with this map, though. You don't just, it's not just attraction that you can create. You can create anything you want. You can create a recipe for rejection, a recipe for love. You can... create a process, or use the process to create an interaction that's like a friendship kind of interaction. Whatever you want, but the harder ones are the ones that go further down the line. You know, the ones that are that use tools that you probably don't use very well yet, and so you have to work up on these tools and figure out how to get good at each stage. And when I was going through this process of studying this, I would literally start in the beginning and I'd go until I fucked up, and then I would stop there. And then every time I got to that point, I would try something new. So sometimes it would take, like, you know, 20, 30 interactions before I got that the knack of one tiny little piece of the puzzle. And then I would put that piece in, and then I would test that a bunch of different ways as well to see if it was just me or some fluke or whatever. So what I'm about to teach you is something that I've tested every way I could. As soon as I came across this process for sales, it was the same process basically that Eric Markovic or Mystery used when he created his, you know, similar thing that I have. And I saw his process. I thought that was really smart as well. And I borrowed some of the verbiage from it because it makes a lot of sense. But then a lot of that was just his own personal shit being tossed into it that isn't objective. It wasn't part of the system. It was just something that he saw, and then he didn't think about how to make it more of a skeleton so that anybody could do whatever they wanted to with it. So I took it, and I took myself out of it, and I took everybody out of it basically, and just looked at the human, the reactions that people have, and that process is what I'm going to teach you now. I don't even need to look at my notes. I've done this 100,000 times, so I'll just close my computer for now. And I'll just kind of go through each stage. As you go through this, you may realize there are a lot of parts of this process that you know about, but that you don't do. If you don't do them, then what good is it to know about them? You know. So if you're going to learn about them, you need to make sure you do them. And you may find that the first step is you have no idea what it's about, right? If you find that, then that'll explain everything. Even if you have everything else down, but the first step isn't right, then you can't proceed to the next step. You will always skip the step you don't understand and that you don't have a very good grasp of, but only because you don't know what to do there. So what do? You don't know what you don't know, so you just skip it because you don't know that there's a step there. So there are things that start before this, but they don't affect anybody because the interaction is only happens whenever you know that someone exists for the first time. So the first stage in this process is someone realizing that you exist. This is called the introduction stage. The introduction stage is the moment whenever you exist in the world to a girl, or to anyone really, but let's say girls. I'm just going to focus on women for this, because this is specific to women. I mean, you can do this with everybody, any guy or girl, but our goal is obviously for women in this case. So the moment where you exist in the world for the first time is oftentimes, and I mean 99% of the time, probably, almost completely, almost all the time, something you're unaware of. It just happens and you don't even know it. A girl looks over and she sees you, and then that stage is over. Or she hears about you, and that stage is over, even if you're not there. So you can't really control this outside of what you do personally have control over, when if someone looks at you or when you open your mouth and they hear your voice, that kind of thing. So this stage is all about body language, using typically dominant body language is what's going to attract women. Women and men are both attracted to polar opposites. So when it comes to gender roles, so if you have a dominant body language, if you have dominant body language traits, you're going to attract submissive women. And most women are told by society to be submissive. And so they are. Even if they want to be strong, they still don't really, it doesn't feel right. They feel like they're going against the grain. So when they see a dominant man, typically, they will be really attracted, even if they're not supposed to be, you know? This is one of the reasons why it's better to be an asshole and dominant than it is to be a pussy and submissive as a man, as far as this goes, right? The outcome that we want here, regardless of whatever the ultimate outcome is, in the short term, you want to pass all of these stages, essentially, almost as if you're playing a game, you know? You get to each stage and you have a new challenge, a thing you have to do to step into the next stage. And every time you do this, you advance to the next part of this process. And if you don't pass the stage, then you get either kicked back to a stage previous, or you stay in that one spot in limbo for eternity. Is there a bottle of water here, Brad? Or somewhere?
There's some sparkling water.
I guess that'll do. I'll be burping a lot, but whatever. Thank you.
Actually,
there's no sparkling water.
Hold on. It's like four. Yeah. Oh, it's still?
Okay, that's it. Cool. I'll take that $300 bottle of still water. That's probably what I'm just going to cost in this room. Let's talk a little bit about this stage, because most people skip this stage because they don't know it's a stage in the first place. They think that as soon as they walk up and open their mouths, that's whenever the interaction starts, but that's totally not when it starts. There's a book called Blink, written by Malcolm Gladwell, that's that I think I mentioned about Badass. And he talks about the first 3 to 5 seconds of someone existing or something existing for the first time. And if you can place some category around the person or thing you're looking at, then you're done thinking about it. That's what we do. We don't like to. That's actually ego, by the way. That's what ego does. Ego categorizes stuff. That's why we use it so much, because it's a dualistic tool, meaning that it creates duality. It creates two different things. It says, is it this or this? And then you pick one, and then it's in that category, and you don't have to think about it at all. You can go, well, as far as I've seen, you know, most... thank you very much. Most people who fit this description are this way. And then, again, you know that once our minds make up a belief around that concept, they're looking for things that verify that, you know, that belief. So if they think that you're something they're not interested in, even if you're not that thing, they're not going to be interested in you. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So what I like to do is create a persona, a mask, that's very difficult to identify. That's a mixture of a whole bunch of shit that they have to create a new character, a new category in their minds to understand it. This is important because when you create a new folder or a new category in your mind, you remember that category. Because it takes physical effort. Like, your brain physically changes whenever you see something new that you can't put into a category. Does that make sense so far? So your goal is to make her create a new folder in her mind, because the only person in that folder is going to be you, most likely, you know? Maybe a few other guys, but not many other guys or any other people, really. I think it's an ambulance, actually.
Lucky you won't forget about your trip here, right?
I know.
Germans.
Yeah, Germans, they like to arrest people, apparently. There's a lot of crime in Germany. So, what you want to do is create this persona for yourself. The things that you've done so far was an attempt to fit into a category. Everyone tries to fit into a category. But what you want to do instead is fit into too many categories to put into one person. Does that make sense? Like, you are obviously too many things, so that when she goes to describe you, she can't describe you with, like, a quick phrase. Yep.
I do that already, but in the wrong way.
Okay. So, there's no wrong way to do it, but there is a way that won't attract women.
A way that's not working for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So let's go over some categories that are attractive, right? Dominance is attractive. So, there's got to be something that's obviously dominant about you. There's another category in their mind, which is a don't give a fuck kind of category. Like, the guy who doesn't give a fuck. That's an attractive category for women. All these categories will be attractive, by the way, but some of them will be instantly have a positive association with their mind as something that's what she wants. But if she's curious about you at all, she'll still be interested. Curiosity is all that attraction is. Attraction is nothing else. So if you think attraction is something else, you're wrong about that. So you need to rephrase that in your mind, redefine that. Attraction is just curiosity. You can be curious about anybody for any reason ever. It doesn't have to be a positive reason. So you can't really do it for the wrong reasons or in the wrong way, but you can do things that will add to what you've currently done that will give her an association with things that seem pleasant as well. So it's not like you don't have as many obstacles to overcome, but ultimately you're going to have to overcome some obstacles anyway, just because that's how it is. Women will throw tests at you to see if you really are who you are. In fact, being the way that I am, this is a really attractive personality trait. The I don't give a fuck personality trait, by the way, just to give you a little more specific idea around it, is what's called an internal frame personality type or personality trait. An internal frame is somebody who gets feedback from the inside of their mind instead of getting feedback from the outside world. This is a terrible, terrible thing to have if you're trying to build rapport or read people, or anything that requires you to interact with any human. But very, very good, because it comes across as you don't give a fuck, right? So a lot of women are attracted to guys who don't care about them, right? Because these guys have internal frames and they don't associate that they need to change their behavior based on the outside world, right? This is like, if you have an external frame, this is the you know, this is like the goal for you usually is to have an internal frame, but it's just one personality trait, and it's not actually good unless it's just a piece of you and you can use that. Each one of these traits you have to work out like a muscle in your body, okay? As you work them out and you get good at becoming these things, like sitting in the space of being these things, then you can pull them out whenever you need them to be out and then use them and then put them away when you don't want them. Is this making sense so far? The dominance is kind of overarching of a lot of different qualities. So that covers like most of what they want to see in your body language. But also they need to see non-neediness, which is that you are basically that's saying that you're complete as a person and that you don't need anything at all. Of course, if you are no one, you don't fucking need anything, right? So this is the core of what you want to show women has already been kind of revealed to you in the beginning sort of interaction that we've had, in the beginning conversation. Because if you don't own anything and you know you can't own anything, then you don't need anything or want anything, so you don't ever show neediness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's the true quality of non-neediness. Now, you can fake non-neediness if you don't know how to, if that hasn't sunk in yet, which most, I'm guessing it hasn't really sunk deep down yet, but it's there and it will sink down. Just, you got to practice that just like you practice anything else. You got to work that muscle out where you remind yourself that you can't own anything anyway. So it's kind of futile to want things essentially. So when you go up and you talk to a girl, already, you won't want anything from her. So the interaction itself is really what you want. You don't want anything from her. You want to just interact. Now, if she rejects you, who gives a shit, right? Because you got the interaction. You got what you wanted already. You don't want anything else. This is the way I had to start thinking in order to attract women. It's the interaction that I want. It's not her. So as I started doing that, I got her. Because she saw non-neediness in my personality. Let me think of a couple more archetypes, just to give a couple. Attention, getting attention, having a lot of people look at you is a very attractive quality. The reason why is because, again, we're like, in my one of my videos, I talked a little bit about goldfish. It's actually guppies, to be honest, that do this, but no one knows what a fucking guppy is, so I couldn't say that. But ultimately, if a female guppy sees two male guppies that are close to the same color, she can't tell which one's more healthy, so she goes to the one that all the other females are going for, right? And in the same way, women do the exact same thing. They're looking for these traits, but they can't really tell if you have these traits or not because, hey, let's be honest, we know how to fake shit because we're humans and we know how to lie. So we start to do that. So what do? They look for what other women are attracted to. So what you're going to be doing is showing that you have a lot of women attracted to you, but you can't show that by saying it or, you know, faking it, essentially. You have to show the qualities that a guy would have who has a lot of options. One is that he doesn't need the interaction, right? That makes sense. If you're sleeping with a lot of women, who cares if this girl rejects you? You just like the interaction. You like the flirting, right? This is something that you have to like. If you don't like flirting, you're never going to get good at this, I promise. So you have to learn how to like flirting. Learn how to find something interesting about seeing her being nervous, you know, about creating tension in your interactions. This is my favorite thing ever, is to watch girls get nervous. I love that. Like, if I make a girl nervous, I love seeing that. It's like, it's just the most submissive thing she can do is not know what the fuck to do, you know? It's like, what do I do? This guy's, you know, here and he's talking to me and he seems really confident. I don't know what to do. Right, so when I start to see that, I'm like, I really enjoy it a lot. That's kind of a really dominant, that's at the core of dominance, that's really what it is that you're going to be experiencing, is this sort of joy with seeing them not know what to do, you know, not know where to put you in their mind, you know. So you get to see this really happening on her face. Usually it's like this half smile, like that, like, what should I do? I don't know what to do. I'm just sitting here like, staring at this guy, you know, and you can draw out of her more interaction and make her more nervous, which is what I love doing. So I'll tell you a little more about that in a moment. But this whole process is how to do that, how to do that in a certain order. And then after enough of that, you accept her for who she is, and then you build rapport with her. So she gets to know you, right? And she can trust you. But the first part is that, like, you know, creating that moment. Most guys run away from that moment because they look at a girl looking at them that way and they think they're being judged. They think that they're it's not working. They do a whole bunch of stuff in their head that's gymnastics in their mind to have a reason to get the fuck out. Because the truth is that most guys are going through this. They're being nervous. They're, like, not knowing what to do. So you knowing this stuff is just making it so that you can sit in that nervous space, right? But in order to do that, you have to get used to that nervous space. You have to live there. That's where your life is lived. That's where all of your greatest gifts are given to the world, in that nervous space, you know? So you sit there until it's nature for you. It is where you sleep. It is where you eat. You take a shit there. Everything you do in your entire life is in that space, you know? And that's what allows you to make that your home, this sort of weird nervous tension, you know? When you are comfortable with nervous tension, you are now king of the fucking universe. Because nothing can make you nervous in a bad way. If you get nervous, you're home. You're used to it. You can navigate. What happens to everyone else is they get nervous and they leave home. Because nervousness is not where they want to be. You guys have probably heard the expression before, in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. Have you heard this? This is your one eye. Essentially, right? If the world is afraid of nervousness and you are comfortable being in nervousness and being in a place where all this tension is being created, then only you can exist there. And everybody goes there at one point. And when they go there, they walk into your world and they're fucked, you know? There's nothing they can do because they're not in control of their bodies anymore. And you're in control of yours, so guess what? You're in control of theirs. You can do whatever you want, like a little puppeteer, you know? And that's really what life is like for me if I decide to interact with anybody. Last night I went to Tantris. You guys ever been to Tantris? Probably the fanciest restaurant in town. I took my jacket off when I walked in, and I didn't have a reservation, and they normally don't take people without reservations, but I just came at the right time, Kelsey and I did. So we walk in, and they're like, oh, let me get your jacket. I take my jacket off, and he's like, put your jacket back on. Because I have tattoos. So he was like, we don't allow tattoos here, so you have to put your jacket back on. So I said, okay, like that's totally fine. Put my jacket on. They seat us all the way in the back, like hide us from everybody, you know? And they give us this like little, like a server that reminded me of a tiny fish that you catch in a net. Like he was like darting everywhere, you know? You know what I mean? Like a little minnow in a bucket. Yeah. Like you scoop him and he's like, trying to get out. So I have a series of things that I do with servers that I taught Brad. I teach people this because it's really helpful about how to give value to people like that. And it is the most rewarding thing in the world to know how to do. So I started doing that to him. He's really nice. Other guys would come over and wait on my table, I guess just because they wanted to come over and see what was going on. And I would get to know all of them a little bit. So I got to know all the servers. And by the end of the meal... he brought out a plate of free desserts for us, so he gave us a bunch of free dessert, and then he went back into the kitchen, got the chef, and then got us and took us from our table, walked us to the kitchen, and introduced us to the chef. He gave me his number, he gave me the other servers and the sommelier's number as well, and they want to hang out, and you know, I mean, this is just something that I do. It's super easy to do this though. It's really easy because I know what I'm doing. You know, I had the entire section of that restaurant. There's a back section of the restaurant. At one point, everybody had stopped eating and was listening to me talk. And I was talking to someone close to me about something. I forgot what it was. Like something having to do with social stuff, you know? Like tips. I think I was talking about getting tips as a server. There was a great book written by a guy named Robert Cialdini. If you guys haven't read this book, there's two books that he wrote. Influence, which is one book. And the second book is called Yes, both written by Robert Cialdini. Yes, though, has a lot of authors, but Robert Cialdini is kind of the main author. These books are about weird loopholes in psychology, things that you can take advantage of, that you can change your behavior, and then all of a sudden your reactions from other people will drastically change, will be very, very different. I learned a lot of these, too, which is what I'm going to be teaching you while you're here. But these were like, you know, just random things. And one of them was about getting tips. as a waiter. And they figured out that if you have three qualities to your service at the very end of your evening, whenever you end a table, you can do three things. If you do them, it increases your tips by like 300%, something retarded, really, really large amount of money. And then if you do one of them, then it increases by like 15, and then two, it's 30, and then three, it's like 300, so it's major, you know? Those three qualities, by the way, were, bless you, were personalizing, so saying someone's name or giving them a reason to make them feel special and different in some kind of way. Relevance, something that they can use or that is helpful to them in their day-to-day life outside of where they're eating. And then surprising or unexpected is the third one. So what they would do is they'd give mints to people. And what they found is if they gave one mint and then turned around and then went, wait, and came back and said, you know what? Because you people were so awesome, I'm going to give you each an extra mint. That increased tips 300%. Crazy, you know? But if he just dropped two down or dropped 10 on the table, it would only increase tips 30%. Interesting, huh? We have patterns like this. This is Maya, you know? This is Maya's world. And because it's a process, a nearly perfect process, you can't, you can work within it and you can tweak things and then something happens over here. That's the cause and effect world that isn't really real, but is that we live in at least. The social world is cause and effect. So because of that, you have ultimate control over your environment because you can just tweak something and then something happens over here. And if you notice that every time, you can begin to put a correlation between the two. Anytime you want this to happen, you tweak this, you know, which is really what I do. That's what I'm teaching you guys now. So
how does this work for women?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. There's the dominant body language is one of the things that you tweak, you know. We'll be getting into that later on, probably tomorrow, how to actually have dominant body language. Though I can give you a couple things now because when you go out tonight, this is going to be the first thing everyone sees. So I'll go ahead and give a little piece to you now. But if you are, okay, so you're going to be walking into whatever place it is that you're going to tonight. So I won't teach you how to walk yet because that's really involved. I'll do that probably either tomorrow or Sunday. But ultimately, you don't know this, but without your knowledge, without your awareness, when you get around other people, you begin to react to them. This is kind of what we do universally. That means whenever you walk into a room, people are reacting to you. Things are changing around you. So if your reality is that no one, you know, people are mean and people are ruthless and they don't like, you know, they just don't like you or whatever, it's probably because you're doing something that's creating that response in them. I like this phrase a lot that, to a monster, every human is a screaming scaredy cat. You know, a monster walks into a bar, everyone fucking screams. You know, he walks into a cafe, everybody screams. He walks into a bookstore, everybody screams and runs away. And eventually he sits down with you and he goes, man, humans are always screaming. How do you get anything done? And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're like, humans aren't screaming. We hardly ever scream about anything. It's just we're mad maybe, but he's like, oh, you must be mad. You know, like there's no understanding. We're just looking at what the reactions we get from other people, but we only have our subjective view of everything. We don't get to see an objective view of things, you know, subjective and objective. Do you guys know those words? Do you? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, your experience of life is subjective. So you can change things and your experience of life will change, meaning that people will treat you differently. I promise it will happen. You'll see that while you're here. So when you walk into this place tonight, or even this afternoon when you go around, keep your head higher than you normally would, as high as you can. Don't drop your head. We always drop our heads because we see somebody around us that's threatening. We go, whoop, so because we want to make ourselves smaller, less of a threat, right? But if you drop your head, what is that saying about you? That you don't want attention. Ah, what does that mean? You're not used to attention. What does that mean? No women like you. Because you're not used to being stared at. If women thought you were hot, you'd be used to being stared at all the time, right? So this is another archetype that I'm talking about, you know? Brad, you were, how tall are you? This is probably going to make a lot of sense, but you know how tall you are and not American?
No. What? 6'3".
Okay, so that's what, like 200 centimeters, I think?
6'3 is not 200 centimeters.
No, it's probably 192 and 180.
Okay, so close to that. He's that tall. But, yeah. Brad, can you, like, kind of do what you used to do? Can you remember?
Yeah, well, I think it was like two places, kind of in my shoulders would be, like, more lean forward, and then in my neck, I would be
that.
Like,
yeah, the neck thing was major. That was how he looked at everybody, with his head down like this. This is a submissive stance. The difference
like
between that,
guys.
Now stand up straight again, that's the difference between attractive and not attractive. You see the tiny, subtle difference? It's everything. But the thing is that it's enough. It's enough to where you can tell if someone is used to being fucked with and used to not being attracted and not having people attracted to them, you know?
I guess I'm going to have to go without my glasses then because they're multifocal and not even from the top layer I can see.
Do you have to tilt your head down?
I have to tilt my head.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. Then don't do that. Yeah.
It's all out of
yeah. Well, that might work in your favor. You might be like, hey, how are you? I have no idea what you're talking to. Hey, all right, cool, yes. You know, doesn't even matter at all.
Yeah.
I used to wear glasses that were reading glasses that I could only read from something like this far away.
Yeah.
When I put the glasses on, if it was here, it was all blurry. I used to wear those when I went out, so I didn't give a fuck. Because I didn't know how to not give a fuck. I was like, okay, well, let me just practice. So I'd wear these glasses and I'd go out, and they're like my magic glasses. I would put them on, and then I wouldn't care about anything. You know, if someone was staring at me, I wouldn't notice. That's the thing. I wouldn't notice and I wouldn't change my body language. So I got used to being around people without changing my body language and staying dominant, you know? Is this making sense so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, I stopped doing that eventually. I mean, you want to be able to do whatever. You want to be able to have whatever option you want. But usually starting in there's a Shaolin concept called like a phrase, like a motto almost. That's train hard, fight easy. It's not just Shaolin. It's a lot of different fighting schools come from this. Train hard and fight easy. You train really hard in the most excruciating, scary circumstances you possibly could imagine. And then when it comes time, nothing is ever that scary in real life. So you get there and you're like, this is fucking simple. You know, that's the concept. That's what you're doing now. You're going to train hard and fight easy. The environment you're going to is not the best environment to meet chicks. Bars and clubs are the hardest environment. They are the Shaolin temple of meeting women. You know, you go there to train. You don't go there to pick up chicks, you know, not unless you really want a challenge. If I wanted a challenge, that's where I would go. Where else am I going to go? Strip clubs are easier, you know, every place is easier than a club, like a dance club, you know, it's loud. You can't you can barely see. Everything's disorienting. Everyone's dressed up looking super hot. There's shitloads of competition that's super aggressive, you know, I mean, and then everyone is like getting wasted. So as the night goes on, it gets harder, not easier, you know? So it is by far the best place to learn because once you leave and you walk around, you're like, I don't give a shit, you know? Anyway, the introduction process, that is really about that dominant body language and standing up as tall as you can, no matter what happens. Like, the fear will make you want to drop your head, especially you. You're really going to have to remember this, Alberto, because you drop your head just without even knowing you're doing it. You just do it automatically. And that's one of the reasons why you're quiet, too. Even though you can observe, I can observe, too. I can sit and I love. This is not how I really am, just so you know. In real life, I don't talk hardly at all. I'll just sit here and watch people, and I don't have any reason to do anything, you know. I don't want anything, so what the fuck? I'm not worried. I just sit there, which is odd, but that's just how I am. But you have to have the option of not doing that. You know, you have to be able to do whatever you want in any circumstance. And that's really what we're doing here. So I really can't stress that enough unless I overstress it. So I'm overstressing it. Connor, did you get a SIM card? It's okay. It's okay. No, it's all right. We'll get one later.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah. I figured you're running all over the place. So thank you though. For nothing. No, I'm just kidding. So introduction. Once you get past that phase, which that phase happens instantly, so that's your default state. Your default state is the hardest thing to train because, you know, it's who you are all the time when no one's watching. Because whenever someone is watching and they get the introduction stage happens, you don't know what's happening, so you think no one's watching. So what you do when no one's watching is what women see because you don't know they're seeing you. You know, whenever they see you. So the best thing to do is to have a default state that is automatically attractive regardless of what you're doing. You know, if you're sitting on the fucking toilet taking a shit, you know, you need to be like, okay, what's the dominant way to take a shit? I'm going to own this shit. You know? Whatever it is, you need to be like, you need to have that to your core, to who you are. When you know no one's watching, you still need to do this. That's really, really important. I don't think I've ever said that before, really. Not like in a boot camp environment. It's so, so, so important to do that. I had to train myself to do this by default, too. When we get to walk later on, like everywhere you walk after that moment when you learn how to walk, which you don't know how to walk right now, the moment when you learn, you will, from that point on, always walk everywhere that way. There's no option not to. Until you can do it in any situation, and then you can choose. If I want to disappear, guess what? I don't walk that way. But if I want people to get the fuck out of my way or stop bumping into me or something, I'll turn it on, and 2 seconds later, it's just the streets parked like this. And I have this unobstructed walking path, like of a king, you know? It's amazing. It works really, really well. But if you don't know how to do it, you don't get yourself into that state to know what to do, then you'll always be darting around. There's a scene in The Matrix that's like this. There's a scene where Neo is in the Matrix, and Morpheus is there. And Morpheus is walking through this really busy street, like a really busy sidewalk. Have you guys all seen The Matrix? What? Who hasn't seen The Matrix? Just you two? Man, holy crap. These are like essentials. Do you guys read books?
Yeah, sure.
Do you like reading? Okay. Well, then stop reading and watch this movie. The reason why I'm asking if you like reading is because you're probably looking for knowledge that isn't in most movies, but The Matrix is the movie about this shit. It's about waking up out of the fucking Matrix. It's about what you're doing right now. Waking up and realizing there's a system and you can manipulate it. That's what the whole movie's about. Only it's not about chicks. It's about
life. I saw you walk
life.
On Venice Beach.
Yeah. And that wasn't even a great example. I mean, a better example is a more crowded place with less stuff distracting people so that they're like, you know, walking forward so that you really have no place to go but forward. London is a really great place because people will just bump into you in London. They don't give a shit. Maybe we'll do another
practice
video.
Practice Marina Plots too.
What's that?
The Marina Plots.
Yeah.
Is that a place?
Okay. Yeah, it's the city center.
Oh, okay.
Prados, we're gonna go.
Okay, yeah, great. So if you guys want to, if today's not the day for that, but if you wanna, if it's up to you two actually, Connor and Brad, it's at your discretion if you feel like it's something you want to show. But my default is no on that one, unless you have to, you know. Because later on, I don't want to overwhelm you. Later on, you'll get that knowledge as well. So, if I feel like showing up for work. So, which I will. Probably. So, okay, so the introduction phase, we kind of have that. You have that in your mind. You understand what's going on. That's your default. That's like when you don't think anyone's watching you, but people see you, and they make that blink decision. In the first 3 to 5 seconds, they put you in a category, the end, right? Does that make sense? Then you move on to the next stage, which that stage is 3 to 5 seconds long, right? But it takes a lifetime of mastering it to get that 3 to 5 seconds to go well. I practiced a lot of stuff that didn't do anything positive. So I'll just give you this. I'll be giving you the things that do work for that default state. Most people, though, most of the things that I tried, though, just didn't have a positive effect. Coming across those things, though, I learned how to do other stuff, like turn women off. That was a really good thing to know how to do. I now know how to walk into an environment where there's a bunch of dominant guys who are like super macho, like manly men guys, who would normally see me as a threat and come in as like no threat whatsoever and then take over their group. I know how to do that, but that's because I learned how to fuck it up too. That's an advanced tactic, you know, because you break the rules when you do that. But anyway, so next step. In the process, it's called demonstrating high value. Demonstrating high value, this is where I sort of, well, this isn't the only place I split, but this is a major place that I split away from some of the other methods of teaching, because a lot of people teach, it's a subtle difference, but demonstrating higher value. Higher value assumes that the person you're talking to has higher value than you already, is worth more, for some reason, than you are, and so you're trying to get higher than them, so you're comparing yourself. And when you do that, you need to be something, and so you project neediness, and that kills attraction in the end, right? Neediness kills attraction, always. Neediness will kill attraction. Anytime you show it, it's gone. You can show neediness in rapport, which is awesome, you know, but in rapport, that's after attraction. During attraction, you can't show neediness. You show it, you're done. So that's one of the reasons why it's important to have everything you wanted, you know, to be who you want to be, essentially, first. So a lot of this work is like inner game, kind of like fixing yourself, and then you walk into an environment and shit works in the beginning. And then it falls apart right after that, you know? Like you get a positive association in the beginning and then shit's difficult after that. So demonstrating high value is, let's take that phrase. Demonstrating is doing. It's not saying. This is really important. You don't describe to someone how you are of high value. That does not work. It never has worked and it never will work. That's one of the reasons why things like memorizing lines, not lines, memorizing stories or something, don't create attraction. They just keep your mouth busy while you're supposed to be doing something with your body. If you act out the whole story, though, then you can create attraction because you're demonstrating something. But most of the time, guys don't do that. They just, hi, did you see the fight outside? Yeah, two girls were fighting over me. Wait, what? Come on. Come on. It's like you have to actually act like that's true. Otherwise, women are going to pick up on it. They're not stupid. Women are by far superior in every way possible to us. There's no way in which way we are superior to women. It just is not the case. They are smarter than us. They are quicker to realize what we're doing. They can see through our bullshit. And they don't usually get wrapped up in the stuff that we get wrapped up in. The only thing that we have that they don't have is ignorance, and enough ignorance to continue doing shit that doesn't work until finally someone gives in. You know? Like, we're persistent. That's what we do as men. That's our gift to the world, is being persistent. You know? So don't think you can outwit a woman. You can't. She will read your mind. And she won't know what she's doing. She just does it. It's like it's part of the hardwire, you know? The hardware that she comes with, you know? She didn't have a penis. Instead, she got an extra thing in her brain that we don't have that makes her smarter. Actually, they have an enlarged corpus callosum, which is the area of the brain that attaches the hemispheres of your mind from your emotional brain to your logical brain, so they can pass information faster between the hemispheres of their brain than we can. So we get into a mood and we get stuck there for like hours, you know? We can't get out of that weird mood. But women will be in a bad mood and then they'll be like, I love you, honey. And they're like, thank you. You know, I'm feeling better now. Everything's okay. It's like, but we're not like that. It's like I love you. Like, yeah, but if you love me, you wouldn't do that. Like, we have all these like reactions that we have because we have a smaller corpus callosum. So it's harder for us to do that. I mean, we don't need to get into how little our brains we actually use as humans, but you can compensate for that really easily as long as you let go of shit and move on. But that's another conversation.